You know, there are millions of people on the earth, and no two of us are exactly alike. No two of us have the same appetites. No two of us have exactly the same concept of right and wrong. No two of us have exactly the same concept of justice. And yes, yet, we have to interact. We live in the same houses. We work in the same buildings. We ride on the same highways, on the same trains and planes. We eat in the same restaurants, shop in the same stores, go to the same schools, and go to the same churches. And again, we're individuals. Our tastes differ, our opinions differ. And not only are we different from one another, but we're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we're different, and because we're sinners, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be friction. No home is going to have complete agreement about everything. No classroom is going to have complete agreement about everything. No business is going to have complete agreement about everything. And no church and the members of that church, we're not always going to agree on everything. And so God knew that we were individuals. God knew that we were sinners. And so God, and he knew there was going to be disagreements. You say, preacher, do we have a problem? No, we don't have a problem. I think the spirit in our church is wonderful. And I don't know of any disagreement that we have. And you say, well, why are you preaching a sermon like this? Because I don't want us to have any. Somebody told me the other day, and we're going to do it. We're going to have an all-night prayer meeting before our anniversary Sunday. Somebody told me the other day, he said, you know, we ought not to just have all-night prayer meetings when we got a problem. We ought to have all-night prayer meetings when things are going good so that God could be gooder to us. Now, that was my word, not his word. He used better English. But we ought to have an all-night prayer meeting. Things are going good, so they'll get gooder. And we're going to do that before anniversary Sunday. But no, we don't have any problems that I know of. But God, in his word, tells us that when we do have problems, he gives us ways to deal with those problems. And one of those ways is in the last verse that we read together in Isaiah 43, verse 18, where the Bible says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." And so this morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, let's just start from here. Let's just start from here. Several years ago, I had a young couple call me on the phone. And they said, "Preacher, we need to come and see you. We've got some things going on in our marriage that we need to talk to you about." And so I made an appointment for them to come up here on a Tuesday night. That was when my office was still back there where the nursery was before we moved it upstairs. And I had the young man set out in the outer office, and I brought the young lady in. And I said, "Okay, tell me what's going on." And for the next 20, 25 minutes, she just went down the list of things that were wrong with her husband. And man, it was a big list. And I sat there and listened and listened and listened. And I said, "Man, this guy is just lousy. Why did you ever marry him in the first place?" I didn't say that out loud. I said it to myself. So I sent her out to the outside office, and I brought the young man in. I said, "You tell me what's going on." And he had a list that was just as long as his wife's list about everything that she had done that he didn't agree with and every opinion that she had that he didn't agree with. And he went on for about 25 minutes. I said, "Okay, let's all get together. Let's talk." And so they came in together, and I set them down and sat across the desk from them. And I said, "You know, you both have long lists of things that you think is wrong with each other. In fact, I didn't hear one thing that I could point to that I thought you agreed on. I mean, everything that I heard, it seems like that you had a different opinion than she did, and you had a different opinion than he did." And for the next hour, I tried to find some common ground. I tried to find one thing that they could just agree on so that I could use that one thing that they agreed on and try to build on that and restore their relationship. After about an hour, I looked across at him and I said, "This is hopeless. I don't know what to do." And so I said this, and I won't use their real names. They don't go here anymore, but some of you know them. I said, and I'll just use the name Joe. I said, "Joe, let me just ask you a question. I've heard your list of complaints. I've heard your list of things that you think is wrong with your wife. Let me just ask you two questions. Number one, do you still love her?" And he hesitated just for a moment. He said, "Yep, preacher, I do. I still love her." I said, "Let me ask you a second question then. Would you be willing to start over from here?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, here's what I mean. I mean, you take that list that you spent 25 minutes telling me about, and you just tear it up. And you throw it out, and you do your best to forget everything that's happened in the past, and you start from here." He said, "Well, what about her mother?" I said, "No, I'm saying you start from here." "What about the time she..." I said, "No, you don't. You do your best to forget everything that's happened in the past, and you start from here." He said, "Well, I'll try." And I turned to her. I said, "Mary, let me ask you two questions. Do you still love this guy?" She hesitated for a longer time. And I was sitting there wondering, what am I going to do if she says no? But she finally said, "Yes, I still love him." And I said, "Okay, let me ask you the second question. Would you be willing to start over from here?" "Well, he's too close to his mother." No. Forget about everything that's gone on in the past. Would you be willing to forget the past? Just like that verse says, forget the past. Not recall back to mind the thing that's happened in the past. And would you just be willing to start over from here? And she said, "Yes, preacher, I would." I said, "Okay, good, stand up." And so I stood up with them. They were standing there together. I said, "Turn and look at one another." They turned and looked at one another. I said, "Joe, do you take Mary to be your wife and to start over from here?" He says, "I do." "Mary, do you take Joe to be your husband and to start over from here?" And she says, "I do." They kissed. They went out. Now, we had some more sessions because they had some things they needed to help, some help working through. And we worked through those things. They're still married today. You say, "Preacher, do they have an ideal marriage with no fussing and fighting?" What world do you live in? No, they still fuss, and they still have disagreements. But they decided that Tuesday night to forget the things that were in the past and just start over from here. The church that I interim in, before I became your pastor, they had some problems, and I went in for a summer and preached to them. They didn't call a new pastor, but he wasn't going to get to come till the fall. And so I went in and preached for him Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And good. The spirit in the church began to heal, but there were two guys in that church that disagreed on everything. Everything. I mean, they disagreed on how different verses should be interpreted. They disagreed on what the church should do. I didn't have any business meetings there, but I'm sure in business meetings, if one stood up and make a motion, the other one would say, "I'm against it," and vice versa. You know, they were like that guy whose church wanted to buy some chandeliers, and they had a guy in the church that was like these two guys. He was against everything. And so the pastor brought up the motion to buy chandeliers, and this guy that's against everything stood up and he says, "I'm against it." The pastor said, "Well, I sort of figured you would be." He said, "I'm against it for three reasons. Number one, we got nobody in this church that can spell it. Number two, we got nobody in this church that can play it. And number three, we need to spend some money and buy some lights." He was against it. And these two guys were against it. They were against each other. So I did something I've never done before that I've never done since. I asked him to come in early on a Sunday night. I said, hey, can you guys meet me at church about 4 o'clock? He said, well, sure. I didn't tell him the other one was coming, but I dealt with him individually. So I brought him into the office that they had there that they were letting me use. And Adam, he was still a little kid. He had a pair of boxing gloves. I brought one of them, just one of them. Charlie and Sam, these two guys, and you guys don't know these people, so I'll use their real names. Charlie and Sam. So I said, I called him in. I said, now, you know, I'm only your interim pastor. I'm not going to be here long. I'm going to leave. But I've noticed that you two guys cannot agree on anything. And I've had people tell me that it's been this way for a long, long time. I want to help you. So I said, Charlie, stand up. Sam, you stand up. Charlie, here's the boxing glove. Put it on. I want you to put it on, and then I want you to hit Sam just as hard as you can. Right in the face. Just hit him as hard as you can. He said, really? Really? I said, do you want to? He said, well, there's been times I've wanted to. I said, do you want to right now? No, I don't want to hit him. I said, give me the glove back. So I said, Sam, here's the glove. Put it on. I want you to hit Charlie just as hard as you can, right in the pusser. Just hit him. Just hit him. He said, well, do I have to? I said, no, you don't have to, but do you want to? Well, no, not really. I said, give me the glove back. Sit down. I said, I don't know what's gone on in the past between you two. I have no idea. People have told me there's been some things in the past. But listen, let me ask you a question. For the sake of your church, would you be willing to forget everything that's happened in the past, and would you be willing to just start over from here? And tears came to Charlie's eyes, and he says, well, I will if you will. And Sam looked over at him, says, and held out his hand like this, and he said, Charlie, I will too. They shook hands and they hugged and they forgot the things that had divided them in the past and they started over from here. Now, church is doing good. Those two guys, I wouldn't say they're bosom friends, but they know how to get along with one another. And again, the church is doing well. Many times when we have problems, the only way to fix them is to just start over from here. Many times, the only way to get our marriages back on track is to just start over from here. Look, I don't need to tell you. Men and women are different. Women think different than we do as men. Really. One second, they can say, I love you. A few minutes later, they can say, I hate you, and mean it just as much both times. And sometimes the only way to go forward is to just say, we're going to start over from here. Same thing's true in friendships. I've known good, best friends that have let something creep into their friendship and they won't forgive each other. They won't forget each other. And they become mortal enemies. And sometimes when that happens in the friendship, you can't go back and undo the problem. You can't go back and undo the difference that existed between them. And sometimes the only way to restore a friendship is to say, let's just start over from here. Same thing in every relationship that we have. There's some relationships between parents and children and some things that have happened in the past. And when I heard a story this week that it just amazed me. And when I went home and I thought about it, I got down on my knees and I said, man, the world needs more mothers like that. Her stepson had done something terrible, terrible. And this stepmother followed this verse. She just says, hey, look, I'm going to forget the things in the past, and we're just going to start over from here. And sometimes that's the only way to fix a problem. In our text verse, God was saying to Israel, to his people, look, you've sinned. I had to punish you, but I've punished you enough. It's time to make up. And what he was saying is, I am willing to forgive and forget. I am willing to forgive your sins, and I am willing to put them out of my mind and to think of them no more. Neither will I go back and think about the past. And Israel, God's people, had a choice when he said that. They could keep remembering their sin, and they could keep remembering the punishment that God brought on them for that sin. And they could get mad and get bitter. And sometimes that's what happens to us. Sometimes we get mad and we get bitter at God because of something he's brought into our life. Sometimes we get mad or bitter at our spouse. Sometimes we get mad or bitter at our parents or at our kids or at our best friend or somebody that we go to church with. And we can decide, we have a decision to make. Are we going to live in that bitterness? Are we going to remember that thing that divided us? Or are we going to do what God says in this verse? I'm going to forget. And we're going to just start over from here. You see, God told his people, I can't go back and undo what you did. It's like the Sunday school lesson this morning talked about, you know, when we sin and we walk away from God, there's probably some things that are going to happen that will leave scars. God can't take away the scars. He told his people, I can't go back and undo what you did. You did it. I had to punish you because I loved you. I punished you, not because I was mad at you, because I wanted to get you back to me. But he says, I'm willing to forget. I'm willing not to think about the former things. This morning I ask you, is there somebody in your life, maybe a spouse, maybe a parent, maybe a child, maybe a friend, maybe some relationship that's in your life where you need to just decide, I'm going to forget what happened in the past. I'm not going to, you say, oh, but preacher, you don't know what they did. You don't know how they treated me. You don't know how they hurt me. You're right. I don't. But are you going to continue to live in that bitterness? Are you going to continue to live with that relationship being broken? Be honest. It hurts you that that relationship is broken. And if you had a choice, you would fix it. But you can't go back and undo what's been said and what's been done in the past. But you can decide to follow the advice of this church, this verse and say, I'm going to forget it. I'm not going to think about what happened in the past. I'm just going to start over from here. I've heard people say, today is the first day of the rest of your life. I don't know who came up with that little saying, but they're saying the same thing that Isaiah said in this verse, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Paul said the same thing in the book of Philippians. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high prize of the calling of Jesus Christ. What he was saying, I can't undo the things that I did in the past, but I can change today and I can change tomorrow. I can't go back and call back all the words that I said. I can't go back and call back all the bad things that I did. I can't go back and undo the things that I did yesterday. But I can start over from here. I can forget and not bring back to mind the things that happened in the past. Hey, listen. Isn't that exactly what God did for us when he saved us? Isn't that exactly the same thing that God did for us? He said, hey, look, I got a deal for you. You come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You come and trust what he did on Calvary to pay for your sins, and I'll forget your past. I'll forget all the times you rejected the gospel. I'll forget all the times that you ridiculed the church. I'll forget all the times that you took Jesus' name in vain. I'll forget all the times that you trampled underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. You come and accept what Christ did on Calvary, and I'll justify you. I'll make you as if you'd never sinned. I'll forget all the things that you've done in the past. What a deal. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted God's invitation to ask Jesus to be your Savior, you're foolish. You're foolish. God says, look, you're a sinner. Sin has to be punished. The wages of sin is death. That punishment is eternal separation from God. Look, the worst part about hell is not the fire. It's not the bottomless pit. It's not the worm that dieth not. It's not the weeping and gnashing in teeth. The worst part about hell is God's not there. And you are separated from the one that made you. You are separated from the one that longs to have an eternal relationship with you. He's not there. But he says, look, if you'll ask Jesus to save you, I'll forget about all those things that happened in the past. And we'll just start from here. We'll just start over from here. He does the same thing. God makes that same deal with Christians that have gotten off track. He said, yeah, hey, I know you've been saved. I know you're on your way to heaven, but you're not living for God right now. You've gotten out and fallen under the influences of the world, and you're doing things that you know you shouldn't ought to do. I got a deal for you. You claim 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What God's saying in that verse is the same thing. Let's just start over from here. I'll forget the stuff that happened yesterday and the day before and the week before and last month. You just ask me to forgive you, and we can just start over from here. God also says that when it comes to his will for our life. I'm almost done, but listen. God has a will for every single one of our life. He has a plan. Before you were born, he had that plan for your life. He has something that he wants you to do for him. And so I turn away from God, and I don't seek out that will. And I come down in my sin. And by the way, that's where sin always takes you. It always takes you down. And I can't do the things that God wanted to me when I was living up here. I come down here, you know what? God's got a will for me when I'm here. Not the same one that he had for me up there, but he's still got a will. I still turn away with him, and I take another step down. I can't do what he wanted me to up here. I can't do what he wanted me to up here, but he's got a will for my life right here. Let's say I turn away from him for more, and I take another step down. I want to tell you something. If we can recycle bottles and newspapers and plastic and everything else, don't you think that Almighty God can recycle people? Amen. He is faithful. He never gives up on anybody. And you know what he does when he gives up on people? He said, come on, time to come home. I had some things I wanted you to do. But you're not going to listen to me. Come on home. So the fact that you're still here this morning, the fact that you're still breathing God's air, the fact that you're still walking on God's earth means that God's not done with you yet. He still has a plan for your life. He still has a will for your life. And he says, I'm willing to forget the fact that you didn't do this and do this and do this. Let's just start over from here. There's something I've got for you to do. So listen, you here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ? God's got a deal for you. He'll forget everything that you've done in the past if you come and ask Jesus to save you. And you can start over from here. Are you a Christian that's gotten off the straight and narrow way and you've wandered away from God? I'm glad 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. I'm glad if we confess our sins, he'll say, okay, I'll forget about all that. I won't think about it. We'll just start over from here. And again, I know most of us here this morning are Christians. I ask you to examine your relationships. Is there one that's broken? Is there one that you need to say, hey, I'm going to forget everything that's happened in the past, and I'm going to go to that person and say, look, it hurts me that we cannot have the relationship that we had before. I'm willing to start over from here. Would you? Say, preacher, I can't do that. You're absolutely right. Within your own power, with your own spirit, you can't do it. But my Bible has a verse in it that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you can do it. You can do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it teaches us. And thank you that it tells us about one who went to the cross to die in our place. And Father, I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, would you help them see that they're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin? And that penalty is to be separated from you, the one that made them and the one that loves them, to be separated from you forever and ever and ever. And Father, would you help them see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary? He suffered what they owed so that he could pay the price of their sin and offer to them eternal life. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to that one that's here without Christ. Help them to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. I pray to help them to, right where they sit, say a prayer something like this. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but I believe you love me. I believe you died for me. I want you to save me this morning. And I pray, Father, every person here that doesn't know Jesus would pray that prayer. And in just a second, come share what they did with us so that we could rejoice with them. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us examine our lives. If there's a relationship that's broken, Father, give us the spirit of love and forgiveness just to start over from here. Bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, do in our hearts what you know needs to be done. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.